so much better since I laid my burdens down. The devil don't like it. No, he don't like it since I laid my burdens down. The devil don't like it. No, he don't like it. Blood of the Lamb, and are you washed? snow, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Sing like this. Yes, I'm washed in the blood, in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, my garments are spotless, they are white as snow. Yes, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. One more time. Yes, I'm washed in that blood, in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb. Oh, my garments are spotless, they are white as snow. Yes, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. And yes, I'm one of the few. Oh, I am one of the few. And by faith in God's word, I can claim it. Though the way may seem long, though the opposition strong, for the bride there's a way provided. And if I plan to go through, just to hope will not do, I must be firmly decided to follow the Lord by obeying His word and believe. God's word, I can claim it. Though the way may seem long, though the opposition strong, for the bride there's a way provided. And if I plan to go through, just to hope will not do, I must be firmly decided to follow the Lord by obeying His word. If I plan to go through, just to hope will not do, I must be firmly decided to follow the Lord by obeying His word and believe that I'm one of the few.
Amen. Let's put it in the key of D there, brother. We'll slow it down this evening now and begin to prepare for the service. We just want to welcome you to the house of the Lord this evening. And if you're streaming, we just welcome you as well and hope that you can take the spirit and atmosphere that's here and put it in your home as well. Let's sing that song, Heal Me, O Lord.
So heal me, O Lord, and I will be
Heal me, O Lord, and I.
the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your here that was sent to me, just to remember my grandmother and grandfather in Virginia, Brother Dennis and Sister Sue Shepherd, just for his pain. He's been dealing with a lot of pain lately, so just pray for him and pray for my grandmother. She's having to help take care of him, and she also has her own health issues she's dealing with, so just keep her in your prayer. But we do have a prayers report here that says we got the final cardiologist report for Miles today. All came back normal. So we thank the Lord for that. So if I could have Brother Chris come up and just change the order of the service for us. I'll have the ushers come forward at this time as well. We'll take up the tithes and offering at the same time.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful once again to be able to come this evening. Father, we've heard the needs that have been brought before your throne. We just lift them up before you. We remember the shepherds. Just ask that you would be merciful to them, Father. Lord, give them a special healing touch and be a comfort to them, Father. Lord, I ask that you continue to be with the various ones here that are still out sick. Lord, I think of the Hughes and the Drums and many others that still aren't necessarily feeling well or able to be here with us. Just ask that you would give them a healing touch, Father. Lord, we continue to lift up Brother Keith with the issues that he continues to go through. Just ask that you would be his strength. And Father, we just ask that you could be with this part of our worship, be with the gift and the giver as we take up the offering, be with the intended purpose. Father, I ask that you could be with Brother Barry as he brings forth the word. That is the primary purpose for us being here, Father, to learn more about you and to be drawn a little bit closer to you, Father. So come down, walk with us tonight. Be with us and be with our worship. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may have your seats as they pass by. We're just going to sing just a song here before we have Brother Barry come this evening. We sang it on Sunday, but I was asked to sing it again this evening, so just sing it with me. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will just like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. Oh, the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am Jesus. when he said she's only sleeping. But as he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord, some began to sing. Like that little girl, dead in all my sins, till Jesus touched this heart of mine and gave me life again. I am just a house of clay ever since that blessed day. There's a light that shines on me for all the world to see. Oh, 'cause he's in the house, and death had to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be, and now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Praise his name, just praise. Touched this heart of mine and gave me life again. I am just a house of clay ever since that blessed day. There's a light that shines on me for all the world to see. Oh, 'cause he's in the house and death had to flee. Now there is light where darkness used to be. Now there is hope, and there's no more doubt. Praise his name, oh, praise his name, because he's in the house. And death has to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Praise his name. Just praise his name. He's in the house. I just want to take a moment, if you would continue to play that. I don't think we truly some days appreciate that. It's not just he's in this house. He's in this house now. He's in your house wherever you are, but he will go wherever you are, wherever you are. And that line that says death has to flee, we say has, it says had to flee. It had to flee. Before you were even here, it had to flee. It's gone. Okay? We don't have to worry about it anymore. We don't have to worry about that anymore. You know that? We don't have to worry. And I am so thankful for that. I'm so thankful. We're doing a prayer service today, I believe. And I was just at home. trying to fix supper, you know, before Megan came home from work. I had the day off. And I just had to stop for just a minute and just say, God, I know there's people hurting, they're sick. I myself have needs and concerns. But I truly believe that starting out this year, having this service, we could walk free. People could be delivered. They could be healed. If you just show up. And I believe you will show up because we're here, we're coming, we're expecting. And if we keep that tonight, he will show up in ways we would never believe or even imagine. Because he's already here. He's already inside. So I just want to sing that again as Brother Barry comes. Just with everything in us. We already have so much to be thankful for. You know, Sister Rachel coming out of her surgery well, and it was an outpatient surgery. You don't hear of back surgeries being outpatient surgeries. And you just don't hear of that. That's a miracle in and of itself. But the fact of her being healed now and this report from Miles, that's a miracle. And there's so many more that we could have and so many more that we have already. So as we sing this again, I want us to sing with everything in us, just knowing and appreciating that God is already here. Amen. So let's sing it again as Brother Barry comes. He's in the house. Death has to flee. And now there is light where darkness used to be.
Father, we are a people, Lord, who are sensitive to your presence, and we certainly thank you, Lord, for passing this way tonight. Even if we dismissed and went home, it would be good for us to be in the house of the Lord. And I pray now in these few minutes that lay ahead of us, I pray you'd come and just speak to us, Lord, in the volume of the book. I pray that you would extend mercy to those who are in need tonight, and we commit our hearts into your care now. Chase away all the busyness, the weariness of the day. And I pray, Father, that you would just forgive us of everything that might hinder the moving of the Spirit of God and move in our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' lovely name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the house of the Lord tonight. Let's take your Bible, if you will, and let's bring up our first slide there tonight. And musicians, we'll let you take your places. Thank you. Lovely song service and just a wonderful atmosphere among us tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You're welcome to read from the screen if you like here. good to have all of you here this evening. Some have been sick and good to be here. Good to have the Britons back. Good to have Sister Shirley back there and Brian. God bless you. It's good to have Sister Lily back there, the Stevenses back there, the Males, Dr. Male, good to have you here. Good to have the Jameses back again. God bless you. We appreciate each and every one of you being here and know it's a Wednesday night. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not
to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated tonight. I have a list of prayer requests. I'm going to reserve them until just a little bit later, and we'll bring them to you. Just wanted to make one announcement, and we've had I've had many questions, and that is that we will not have a couples banquet or a couples event in February this year. We have a major event in our anniversary at the end of the month of February, 28th, and we have a special service day on that Sunday. So Saturday night is the banquet, and that's for HBT. And it's a catered event. It's going to be nice. And you notice I said that louder. It's going to be nice. And then we have two services on Sunday, special services. And so we are looking forward to that. It'll be our 20th anniversary. So we just trust that the Lord will meet with us. And that's something you can mark on your calendars. Now, I want to be concise here this evening, and I want to just share a little bit with you, which I think is appropriate for the beginning of the year. And this is something that I think is a constant reminder that is good for us. But before we do that, Kingston, come on up here. And Kingston shared a little bit with me about his experience at the retreat, first time at the retreat. And I asked him just to share a little bit about your experience there and how it went.
I thought it was really great. Like, I didn't know what to expect going into it, but it was really good to just be around, like, a bunch of people my age that, you know, also believe the message, because it's like, I kind of only have that here, which I'm not saying that's not enough or anything, but you guys are great. I'm just saying, like, I'm used to an environment at school where, like, talk about God or anything like that is, like, not welcome at all. And I was really happy to be around people my age that were also into that. and it was great. The services were such a blessing, and I learned a lot of stuff that I either need right now or I'm going to need pretty soon. I'd like to hear some more of that stewardship talk here sometime. but, yeah.
Food?
Wonderful.
we'll end right there. Thank you, Kingston. Appreciate that. First time people always think the food is great, so appreciate that. All right, let's jump in. Some of this is going to be really self-evident and simple, but I want you to just to follow the thought here. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I sin not against thee, O Lord." Only thing he needed was the rain. David would have been all right if he could have just had the rain, but the Holy Ghost wasn't yet given. He had the word. He had the written word. And the word was in him, and he could know it. And he said, "I've hid it in my heart, Lord, but it won't bloom out and act like it should, but I've hid it there, Lord, I've hid it there." David believed enough in God's word that even though it was not quickened by the Holy Spirit, he still felt it was important enough to hide it in his heart, because it is that real to him. It's that important to him. No matter what else happens, I want to hide it in my heart. And that was his desire. And imagine how David would have reacted. If David reacted like he did without the Holy Ghost, imagine what he would have reacted like if he did have the Holy Ghost. Because David danced before the Lord and shouted before the Lord. And, he just rejoiced at God's presence. So imagine if he did have the Holy Ghost to quicken that word and really make it alive. But he valued the word enough to be able to appreciate it and go to the effort, go to the extent to hide it in his heart, memorize it, learn it, embrace it, read more of it. That was David's passion. And I think that's a tremendous passion to have. That is, to me, it's the best kind of passion that you could have. Brother Bram said, in remembering the Lord, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I tell you to do?" We ought to study the scripture. We ought to find out what God's program and plan is. Let me say it again. We ought to study the scripture. We ought to find out what God's program and plan is. And he said, "You call me Lord when you don't do the things that I command you to do." One of the reasons why we don't do the things that he's commanded is because we don't read the word. And we're not familiar with what God loves and what God hates and what God desires of us and what's expected of us. And the only way you're going to find that out is to read the word. The beautiful thing about reading the Bible, which is different than any other book, is that when you read it, the author tends to show up. And you can always speak to him and ask him to give you an understanding of his word. Now, lots of people are, you know, we all do it differently. We all read it differently. And that doesn't matter to me. I just want you to read it. Some people get hung up on, is it a sin to write, mark, and highlight in the Bible? I can tell you that some people, they have a black belt in writing up and highlighting their Bible. And it's entirely up to you. I don't do that. I have my new Bible, and I just love my Bible. There's a whole page here with no marks on it. I don't carry it around with me. I don't travel on the plane with it because I want it to last forever. If we get a chance to take a Bible to heaven, this is the one I want to take with me. So I treat it real carefully. But when I find a passage or when I'm ministering on it, I love the wide margins because I do make notes and I make cross-references there, which are really handy. But however you do it, there is no right or wrong. I just want you to do it. Now, Brother Branham said again, he said now, he's talking in God and simplicity. Now study that, study it all. And you people who are visiting here, when you go to your motel rooms, take these things and ponder over them. You don't have time to break it down as it should be. We don't have time to break it down as it should be broken down. But I want you to do it when you get to the motel or the hotel or wherever you're staying or the home. Doesn't matter. The point is, I want you to study it and break it down. Study it and get into it. Study and don't just take the surface meaning of it, but just ask God to give you the deeper meaning. The more important meaning, what God's really trying to say. And you should be asking, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? And what do you want me to apply from this? And that's a good way to go at it in terms of understanding. But you're not alone because Jesus promised us that when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. You don't realize how good you got it to have the Spirit of Christ actually guiding you into all truth. And he shall not speak of himself. And you should be praying every time you read it. Lord, guide me into the right thing, not the wrong thing. Guide me into the truth that I need to know and keep me shielded from the wrong things. Amen. Now, we'll tell you that the best thing you can do is ask God to guide you into truth because the enemy would love to guide you in every other direction. And that's what the Holy Spirit has promised to do. I want to read a scripture, Brother Bram says, every night. He's beginning the meetings here that he has out in Arizona, and he said, I want to read a scripture every night. And I hope that you in your home will read at least one chapter in the Bible every day and pray. I hope that you in your home will read at least one chapter in the Bible every day and pray. Always do that. That's the old-fashioned Christian home. And God knows we need more of that more than we need atomic bombs in America. Amen. That would be the best thing we could have was a fortress of God's love and power around us. Amen. Always do that. Always. So we ask the question, why should I read my Bible? Why should I study my Bible? What is the purpose and what's the point? Well, my answer is, I read it because I love it. I love it. And I can honestly tell you, without trying to sound humble or super spiritual, I can tell you that the older I get, the more I love to study it. The more I love to just get alone and read it and understand the meaning of it and what God's really trying to say. And I can tell you that's the honest truth. There's just something special about getting alone and doing that. But for you, I read it. Obviously, I'm looking for inspiration to share and sermons and outlines and all that kind of thing. I do that. And I sometimes I feel guilty that I get compensated to do that because, I mean, it seems I would do it anyway because I love it. But why should you read your Bible and why should you actually study your Bible? There's a one-word answer. There's several answers, but there's one-word answer that I want to give you. And that is because we have controversy. That's one reason. And we're supposed to have a reason for the hope that lies within us. And people are going to ask you questions. You're going to be confronted with questions. And people have different religious practices, and they have different religious customs in their churches. And they wonder why you do something, and where is that found, and what's, you know, it's Old Testament, and why are you still doing that? Because it's Old Testament. And there are lots of things that people will ask you, but there's also controversies. And controversies are things that are, in a sense, debatable. And you've got to, if you're dealing with somebody and answering the question that they have, you want to have a basis for your argument with them. Even though we don't necessarily argue, but you want to have a defense, and your defense has to be based on something. Okay? And so, for instance, we could say, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let your women keep silence in the churches. Meaning that we don't believe that women have a place to preach in our churches. And is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are under command. They are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And as I've told you before, there's no place in the Bible, in the Old Testament, where it says that, you know, as a sister, thou shalt not preach. There's no place there. But there is also no place given for the office of a woman in ministry. And so therefore, she doesn't have the blessing or the direction of God, the commission of God given to her. And that's a short answer. But people will say, well, in our church, you know, we have a husband and wife who are both co-pastors. And, you know, they may say, is that true in your church? And you're going to tell them, no, no. For instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 22, the woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man. You girls ought to know that. You ought to know where that verse is. And you know, you should know what is the verse before it and the one that comes after it. Because they're all included, they're all stated under moral laws. Moral laws are still in effect. Right? Moral laws are still in effect. Go to Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus says, you've heard it said in the Old Testament, thou shalt not lust. After a woman, he says, I say unto you, or thou shalt not commit adultery. He says, I say unto you, you shall not lust after a woman. And so the moral law was magnified. It's still in effect. And this particular scripture means that, you know, the girls are going to wear clothing that's different. God made the sexes different. He dressed them differently. And so therefore, this is the beginning of the basis of that argument. So people will ask those questions. We should know where those actually are. Brother Bram said, God can raise up a little something different. And altogether, we denounce it. Now, Satan's always doing this, right? Satan's always bringing up something unusual or something different, causing controversy, having people make websites against the message or whatever. But God also raises up things that are a little bit different. And we got to make sure we're not denouncing something that God's raised up. Like who really thought, even though the Bible declares it in Malachi 4, who really thought that there was going to be a prophet in the last day? Not only a prophet to us, but a prophet to the Jews that is coming up in Revelation 11. And who thought that? But when we look back, we realize, whoa, that's in the Bible, right? So when God raises up something a little different altogether, we denounce it. And instead of searching Scripture to see if it's right or not, we quickly throw it away and then say there's nothing to it. Like water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody was baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know, three times face forward, three times face down, backwards, forwards, didn't matter, sprinkling. And people were very satisfied with whatever, as long as somebody said they were baptized. And prophet comes along and says, no, there's a way, and there's a right thing to say. And everybody in the New Testament that did anything was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look back and said, oh, whoa, you know what? He's right. It was in the Bible all along. And part of a prophet's ministry is to tie the loose ends together and bring clarity to the things that are obscure or have been lost through the ages. And that's what he did. So Brother Branham says, rather than quickly throw it away and say there's nothing to it, we ought to search out those things and find out whether they're right or not. And if they're not right, they'll finally die. For Jesus said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Gamaliel made the great statement, and we mentioned on Sunday, as a doctor of the law, if it be of God, we don't want to be found fighting against it, and if it's not of God, it'll come to naught anyhow. So study and think of it. The only way you're going to find out whether it's of God or not is to study it out. Now, there are some things we read in the Bible you got to lay on the shelf because, you know, it may not be fully manifested or it may not be manifested yet, but yet it's a promise of God, so therefore we're going to put it on the shelf and we're going to leave it there. But there are many things that God does that might be different, and we don't actually realize that it is God sometimes until it's past. But the ability that you have, the thing that we have in common, the thing that is unique to the bride of Jesus Christ, is that God puts something in you, a capacity to hear the voice of God. And that's really, really important. I love what Daniel Webster said. He said, if there's anything in me to commend, the credit is due to my parents for instilling me an early love of the scriptures. And all the young people said, let me read it again. If there's anything in me to commend, the credit is due to my parents for instilling in me an early love of the scriptures. And all the young people said, amen. It's a little better. If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity, generations to come, neglect its instruction and its authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity. No one can tell how quickly things can change. Your life can change pretty quickly. There can be controversies come up. There can be catastrophes happen. There can be natural phenomena that takes place. I will tell you what, if we in our posterity neglect its instruction and authority, we cannot be responsible for previous generations, but we have the responsibility to influence the generations that are right behind us and coming up. He says, how sudden, if no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all of our glory in profound obscurity. So because things happen and because we have COVID, people are going to ask, what do you think of this? Or, you know what, if we get enough naval battles or close calls like we had today, people are going to be asking you, what does that mean? Does that have any significance here? What do you think of all these events that are taking place? And should we be praying for the people in Greenland? You need to have an answer. Here's a controversy, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame to him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. This is Sister Katie Quinn. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So Paul says this is a contentious issue. This is an issue that people wonder about. And here's Paul all of a sudden. He's giving us a commandment, but there's more to it because it deals with headship, right? A woman is under a natural headship. Now, Brother Branham says this in Mark of the Beast. Now, this great subject that we're approaching has certainly caused some great controversy and some pro and con on the subject. And I myself believe it's such a great, vital part of the Scripture that all the Scripture should be taught, all of it, and we should not leave any of it out. God has spoke through the Scriptures about the mark of the beast and how that it was to appear in the last day. You know what? Even though it's controversial, and Brother Bram says so, and it's got pros and cons, and it does, and there's all kinds of opinions about it, and there is. If you do yourself a Google search, don't. But if you do a Google search, you'll find millions and millions, Brazilians of opinions about the mark of the beast. I'm glad we've had a prophet. And you know what? God says, even though there are Brazilians of opinions, there still is a truth somewhere. And God's not afraid to come right out in the middle of that in an age with all the conspiracy theories and say, there is a truth, and here it is, and lays it out for us. I'm glad we've got that. I'm glad we're not concerned about an RFID chip in our hand or, some tattoo in our forehead or whatever. I'm glad we don't have to worry about that. I'm glad, that we understand what the seal of God is and the mark of the beast is. Amen?
Amen.
We can go over it again if we need to do it. But Brother Branham says, even though there is a pro and a con, there's controversy, he said, I believe it's a great vital part of the scripture, obviously, because it is a differentiation that God actually makes. He said, all of scripture should be taught. All of it should be taught, controversial or not. Whether it's something that, you know, lots of people have misunderstood, doesn't matter. We're going to teach it anyway. We're going to teach the truth of it. And by God's grace now, we have, you know, everything that that prophet said in the last day recorded, and we have it searchable, and we have it quotable, and we have it distributable. Aren't you thankful?
Amen.
And there's we have access to what Brother Branham taught us was the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication. I'm almost done, so don't go anywhere. Hey, stay with me here. I know it's Wednesday night. Stay with me. I'll tell you what, we are blessed to have access, distributability. We're able to have it in English. We don't have to struggle and wrestle with interpretation here. We are just absolutely a blessed people. And as a minister of the gospel, believing that we're living in the last days, I believe that it's a timely message. Absolutely. It's a timely message because in the last day, right, there is a marking that goes on that should be approached reverently in this day that we're living in. You know who he's talking to? He's talking to us. There's a truth to this, and we should not be afraid of the controversy that surrounds it. You know, serpent seed and what happened in the Garden of Eden. Was it an apple? All of those things. Hey, it's truth in the Bible. We can bring somebody right from Genesis to Revelation with that concept. And we can show that we should not back off from anything that God has proven in his word. We should not be afraid or reluctant to preach anything that's found in God's word. Absolutely nothing. So, Brother Bam says again, in the unveiling of God, he said that God on the mountain was so great till even the people said when they began to see Jehovah come down the pillar of fire, they begin to shake the earth and the things he did, and the mountain on fire. He said, what about this glory? What about God appearing in this last day? What about God showing up on the scene in this last day? And if that was veiled by a natural veil, this is veiled by a spiritual veil, don't try to look at the natural. Break into the spirit and see where you're at. See what hour we're living in. Amen. When you stay in the natural realm and your understanding is defined by CNN and all the other news media outlets out there or Fox News, when your spiritual understanding is defined by that, let me tell you, you're going to be led down a different path than where the Holy Spirit wants to take you. Not that all of it is evil. Not that all of it is evil. But God has given us an absolute in this last day. And when you stay with just a natural veil over your eyes, you're only going to see natural things. But this truth, this God on the mountain today, and God is not coming down in a literal fire, literal cloud, even though he came down at particular points to get his picture made to remind us that he still is God and he still likes to have his picture made with his people. Right? And if that's true, God is reminding us that even though we may not have many pictures of him taken here in 2025, 26, I'm still among you. And you got to look beyond the natural to see that. I believe God is with us. I believe he's with us. I believe he's here tonight by the promise of God. And where two or three are gathered in his name, there he would be in the midst. I believe that. And so therefore, Brother Branham is encouraging us to lift our eyes just a little higher. You know, when he talked to Abraham out there and he said, Abraham, you look at the sand on the seashore, you look up in the sky and see the stars. Now look a little higher and see that beyond this, there's going to be seed that are going to come from you that will be even greater than the sand, the grains of sand on the seashore. And he said, they'll be innumerable in the earth. He wanted Abraham to look higher. Look higher than your circumstance. Look higher than the flu. Look higher than your job. Look higher than you know what you're trying to accomplish in the natural air. Don't ever give up. Don't ever be discouraged. Look up a little bit higher. God's got something greater going on here. But if you're only looking in a natural view, let me tell you, you're going to be limited as to what you believe. And if we don't look in the spiritual realm, we'll start believing in an inferior reality, which is this dimension. And this dimension is about to pass away. Did you get that? This dimension is an inferior reality. Heaven is more real, and that dimension is more real. That kingdom is more real than this one here. We have to begin to look above this kingdom right here, looking through the promises of God at the reality that God has shown us exists. All right. So when we read our Bible, and I'm almost done here, but when we read our Bible, we develop a belief system. A belief system is important for every one of us because you have to make sure that you have an understanding of God's word and his principles, the things he loves, the things that he desires and expects of us, as I said. Our beliefs are based on facts, and that comes from the simple reading of the Bible. It also comes from personal experiences that you have with God. So our beliefs are formed by some of the personal experiences you had with God. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was sick, but now I'm healed. Right? We also can say that experiences of others that we trust are important influences in our life. We have our influencers. YouTube has its influencers, but we have ours. And the experience of others that we trust in sharing their testimonies is a powerful way that our beliefs are formed. Hey, listen, I believe that Brother Branham actually, by God's grace, spoke those squirrels into existence. Nobody was there. I wasn't there. Nobody was there when he did that. But I believe that. Because I believe in the experience he had with God, the communion that he had with God, and how that, you know, his entire life and ministry were bent on pointing us to God. And I believe God did those things to help us to believe by faith that God was with that ministry and proving that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not just a renovator. He's a creator. He's a creator. And so the experience of others we trust become a powerful influence. You've got to be just making sure you're trusting the right people. Thirdly, revelation helps us to understand what is right and what is wrong. You don't know God by intellectual conception, Brother Branham said. You know God by faith. And you can't explain it. No one can. God is without finding out by explanation. God is without finding out by explanation. In other words, he never created a venue for us to know him by explanation or science or Googling. There's a whole lot you can't Google about God. And it's intended to be that way. You've got to believe him. Otherwise, it wouldn't be faith anymore. There will always be an element that you cannot see or touch or feel. None of your natural senses come in contact with God, but yet you believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that he exists, that he's real, that he's in me, he's alive, he leads me, speaks to me, right? He's not a figment of my imagination. He's not just a theory or a thought. He is real. Sometimes we go off on a tantrum somewhere and not think about God and not pray over it, and we wonder why I can't have more blessings. Sometimes we wonder, why isn't God doing more in my life? Sometimes we wonder, I prayed and God didn't answer. He says, you don't watch, you let down in your prayer life, and you say, well, I'm a Christian. So in other words, doesn't it come automatically? Isn't God just going to bless me because I'm a member of HBT and I'm a Christian, I've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I got a Malachi 4 license plate holder out there? Isn't God automatically, hey, listen, God, where are you? Hey, you owe me this. No. Because we are Christians, that's the more sign you should pray more than ever. Amen. Read the Bible every day. Pray every day. Don't make any decisions too harshly or too quickly without first considering God about it. Shall I do this, Father? Ask him, is it your will for me to do this? And say, is it your will for me to do this now? Is it your will for me to do this with this person? Like marriage. Is it right for me to pursue this now? Is it right for me to pursue this period? Then see what the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And he might not give you a vision, but he will speak in some way to you to let you know if you'll be sincere and ask him. How do I know it's God who's answering? Because God will never give you anything that's contrary to the Bible. That's why we need to read our Bible. Can anybody say amen? Amen. That's why we need to read the Bible. Just like the folks in the early church. You got to hand it to the people in the early church. Like I alluded to on Sunday. They had opposition by the Romans. They had opposition by the Pharisees. They had opposition by the Jews. They had opposition by people who were really not sure what was happening in the early church. But yet the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews, which was their custom, and those were more noble than those in Thessalonica. So here they are, here's Paul and Silas, and they're in the synagogue of the Jews, but in that particular town, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. The people in Thessalonica did not. And they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. So just because Paul said it did not necessarily mean that it was right. They wanted to go back to the scriptures and find out whether that's what God said. Hello? We're not following cunningly devised fables. That's not easy to say. We're not following that kind of thing. Let me tell you, just because Brother Bram said, just because I said it doesn't mean it's automatically right. It's got to come back to the scripture. It's got to come back to the word of God. How do you know whether it's in the word? Because I've read it. Let's go look at the Thessalonians here. Acts 17, therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, which we just read, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Did they stir them up in favor of Paul? No. And immediately the brethren sent Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timothy abode there still. So the Jews of Thessalonica were people who did not search the word. They did not see Paul coming. They did not see Paul's message of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. They did not see the word made flesh and dwelling amongst them. They didn't see that. You know why? The difference was the people in Berea searched the word daily. The Jews in Thessalonica, they were bound by their traditions and they came against the word of God. I would rather be with the group in Berea who were at least searching than the Jews of Thessalonica who were just stirring up the people against Paul, because what he was preaching was contrary to our traditions. That's why Paul told Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Now, Brother Branham said, you know, you talk about, a parent that, or Daniel Webster said, if there's any commending to be done for me, he says, you commend my parents first because they gave me a love for scripture. And here's what Paul is saying, exactly the same thing. That, you know what? You've been raised in a home where the scripture was prominent and they impressed you and they shaped your thinking and you molded your conduct by the word of God and by the law and everything else. And you should be very thankful for that. He says, continue in that. I would say this for all of you kids that are here, all of you unmarried that are here, been raised in this church, and most of you have been, or in some message church, you ought to be thankful. You ought to go home and reach your hand up to your parents and say, thank you, Mom and Dad, for making sure the Bible is central in our home. Huh. Come on, kids, bear with me here. You should go home and reach up to your mom and dad and say, thank you, Mom and Dad, for making the Bible central in our home. You kids ought to go home and raise your hand up and say, thank you, Mom and Dad, for making the Bible central in our home, because it's affected my conduct and what I believe, and you're shaping me to be a real son and daughter of God and hopefully onto a real experience and communion with God later in my life, and I want to live for Him and serve Him all the days of my life. Thank you, Sean, for turning up the PA system. I got some scriptures and I think we ought to read them. Many of them, I see, are writing, have got their books and writing the scriptures down, marking them in their Bible, so that's fine. I'd like for you to do that, and then go home and study it. And if you study it yourself, then you'll understand it better. If you study it yourself, you'll understand it better. Just study it, and ask God to help you understand. I don't know whether I've said this to you publicly or not, but let me say this. I think it's nice. Now, I'm a Bible collector. I love Bibles. I have Bibles everywhere. So I leave this Bible at my church desk. I don't carry it around because I don't want to get beat up. But I have, when I study at home, I have Bibles. And I have Bibles that I use for study, Bibles that I have for just reading. But I prefer to have a real Bible, because my Bible doesn't text me in the middle of my reading. All right, I'll go on. I'm almost done. How to study your Bible. Because isn't it true you're going to check the text before you continue reading your Bible? But my Bible has never texted me yet. All right, so there's four things that we're going to look at studying your Bible. I'm almost done. I'm almost done, believe me. We're going to look at, if we want to do our study, we're going to look at topical study topics. In other words, we're going to say, why does a woman not allowed to cut her hair and a guy is supposed to cut her hair? Well, that's a subject. Why is it that the moral law is still in effect and the dietary laws and the ceremonial laws are not in effect? Why is it that a preacher has to marry a certain kind of a woman? Those are topics we would look at. Predestination is a topic. Serpent seed is a topic. Godhead is a topic. And if you can pick a topic and you can search it and you can go all through the Bible and find scriptures that are related to it, really easy to do it. We also have Bible personalities and events. So you may say, I want to study on the life of Elijah. I want to follow the spirit of Elijah through the scripture because it's not just one, he's not a one-timer, he's not a one-off, he's a five-off. And so God used the spirit of Elijah because he was so compliant. And therefore, you might want to look at a Bible personality. Some of you sisters might want to look at how a real spiritual, godly sister should act. So we're going to look at Sarah, we're going to look at Esther, we're going to look at Ruth, and those are Bible personalities. We also may look at the event, like the event of the end time, the event of the coming of Christ, first coming of Christ, and all the other events that took place. There's also historical studies. I love historical studies. Sometimes we're looking back in the Old Testament. Why did they get carried off into Babylon for 70 years? And why 70 years? And those are all good questions, and those would be historical studies. And lastly, we want to have inductive Bible study. What in the world is that? It's an approach to studying God's Word focused on three basic steps or three questions that you want to ask. Here they are on the bottom. You want to make an observation. What does the Word really say about that? Number two, what does it mean? And number three, how does that apply to me? What's the relevance? Let me give you an example, all right? So this would be an example of an inductive Bible study. Here's what Brother Branham preached in 1954. Them that are dead in Christ are free from judgment and will come forth in the resurrection. But when we die, we go directly into the presence of God in a celestial body. That's what he said. This is 1954. If I would meet Brother Neville up there, I'd say, greetings, Brother Neville, but I couldn't shake his hand. He's in a celestial body. I could talk to him, and he'd look like he does there. But we could talk to one another and we couldn't touch one another because we haven't got any of the five senses, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. You know, almost everything he says in this paragraph is incorrect. But he's telling you out of the basis of the knowledge he has at that particular time. So we don't throw the baby out with the bath water. We don't spit out all the cherries, okay? Hang on, hold on to your hat. Because he's being sincere. He's not trying to misguide anybody. But that's what he understands. So people may ask you, what happens when we die? Where do we go? What kind of a body do we have? Or do we have a body? He's saying right here in 1954, we don't. We just have this celestial cloud-like thing. And you know where he got this? Do you know where Brother Branham got this? He got this teaching from his mother. She was the one who instilled this in him. Because she was obviously raised in another era, and that's the limit of her understanding. So here's Brother Branham now. He's taking this and answering questions related to this. Now, in 1965, here's what happens. Brother Branham said he was talking about going beyond the curtain of time. And he talks about his experience over there. He said, when I went over there and saw those people, he said, it helped me because I used to have an idea, this right here, I used to have an idea that when a person died, just their soul went off. But when he quoted that to me, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 2 Corinthians 5, we got to have everything in threes to make perfection. There's one body here, natural body, the celestial body, and the glorified body in the resurrection. It's not a myth, not a spirit. It is a man and a woman like you are. Well, I could feel them. He gets over on the other side and he grabs a hold of the people are wanting to hug him, and I could feel them. Oh, yes, they have a body. Here, you know what he is now? He's an eyewitness. He's an eyewitness. So this is what an inductive study is all about. It is, you're asking the question, you're investigating, you're coming up with a conclusion. How does this affect him? Well, it affects Brother Branham in a great way. And he says, oh yeah, they have a body. Not just a myth, it's a body. We know one another. We knew one another. They all knowed me and they're hugging me. This is a real thing. In other words, what I once knew was incorrect, but now I know the truth of this. Whenever you study the Bible, whenever you read it, you should be praying and say, Lord, give me the real understanding. And give me an understanding in such a way that I'll be able to take that and apply it in my life. Am I making any sense? So here are some of the helpful links. You'll have this on the PowerPoint here, and you can go look at it. All of these are pertinent. They're helpful. They'll give you information that you need to have. And so I'll just leave that on the board. Don't worry about writing it all down. You can either take a picture of it or you can download the PowerPoint after the fact here and get all of those places here. I'm going to email you, all of you. I'm working on changing our email setup, and I'm going to email all of you a document that has lots and lots and lots more of this stuff here so that you can use it as a reference. Okay, use it for your kids, use it for your Bible study at home, and be able to apply it in your own household, in your own personal study. All right. Let's pause for a minute, and what I want to do is give you some prayer requests here, and then we're going to close our service tonight with a word of prayer, and just join our hearts together for these needs that we have. First of all, I'd like to say this: that Nathaniel, we're glad you're here. Nathaniel and I had an appointment tonight to talk together at around 6 o'clock, and he called me and told me he was in an accident. On his way to church here. And somebody stopped in front of him, and it was a collision that took place here. And thankfully, he's not hurt. Thankfully, he's here. But any accident like that, the unexpected, shakes you up a little bit. I just want to say we're glad you're here. You're in the right place. So we pray that the Lord will take away any residual effect from that. Brother Mark Sylvester is not here tonight. He is not well. Sister Becky's not here tonight. She is not well. As Mitchell said already, Sister Rachel Pritchard is home. The operation was deemed a success. Absolutely incredible how they can do that and be in and out of the operating theater in an hour and a half and consider it outpatient. Now, what we want to pray for is that the Lord binds up her wounds and gives her quick and complete recovery so she does not have that problem again. We want to pray for Sister Carrie Whitlock's father. And we've prayed before. He had the valve transplant and so forth. He's had a heart condition for a number of years. He's in a difficult spot. He's still in the hospital. He has very poor lung function. They're going to be doing some more testing tomorrow. And his blood pressure is really high. He's out of rhythm. And we've been asked to just really remember him in prayer. Just trust that the Lord will undertake for him. We also want to pray for, as I mentioned on Sunday, we want to pray for Sister Carrie Whitlock and just ask that the Lord would undertake for her and give her healing of the problem that she has with the dizziness and the imbalance that she has. Brother Brian's here tonight. We want to pray that God would continue to touch his back. And Sister Shirley, good to have you here. And we're just praying for continued strength for her. Sister Chanel has a brother. His name is Brian. And Brian is what's called a functioning alcoholic. And he has gone through lots of problems over the years. He's been in and out of AA. And his marriage has been destroyed by that addiction and has led a life of misery as a result of that. And yet God's dealing with him. And that's a wonderful thing to see. And we just pray that God will give you both the right words to say, the right opportunities to say it, that it will really make effect in his, really make it, have an effect in his life. We want to pray for Sister Lily. That's all right. She had a cut on her hand and is having to go see a specialist and also doing physical therapy because it's really hard to play the violin. And so we want to pray that God would give her complete healing. At the end of the service, we want to pray for Brother Smith, who has edema, swelling in his legs. And Brother Smith, we'd be glad to do that tonight. We want to pray for Brother David and Sister Karen, who are away, they left today, a little holiday, and they're going to be gone. And we have several unspoken requests. We also have a request that was given by the drums, and I just want to share just a little bit from Sister Frida. And Sister Frida has had problems with her eyes, and one of her eyes especially, and had a spot in her eye, and it's been an ongoing chronic thing for a good while. The neurologist is going to try to do a nerve block in her neck to relieve the pain that she has. And they're having to deal with the insurance company and all the other things that go with that. And she said now she's having a complication with her eye, and it's probably a complication from a sinus infection. So it's difficult for them to be with Brother Joe's condition as well, to be out in a crowd. So we sure want to remember them in prayer. And they're very faithful folks and wonderful believers, so we want to remember them in, certainly in prayer. We want to remember Sister Karen Buchanan. And she is having a difficult time with the swelling and the congestive heart failure that she deals with. And we also want to remember Brother Troy and Sister Connie. Brother Troy went through the flu and all the seasonal stuff, but Sister Connie obviously is dealing with her condition, and we just want to remember them in prayer. Just trust that the Lord will undertake for them. Brother Anwar asked us to remember him in prayer. They've had their house listed, their plans to move here, and we're just trusting that the Lord will undertake for them and pull it all together so that they can move smoothly and in God's time. We are praying for the Florians, who were hit by seasonal diseases as well, and they're in recovery mode, and also Sister Tina Knobloch. We want to pray that the Lord will give her strength and give her the touch that she needs. After Winter Youth Retreat, Brother Paul and Sister Rebecca LaFontaine had to jump on a plane and fly to Seattle. And they went there because their daughter, Gabby Powell, their youngest daughter, was expecting and developed a complication. And as a result of that, they took the baby early, and the remedy was to take the baby early. And yesterday they moved the baby to a hospital in Seattle because, being a preemie, her lungs were not developed fully, which is natural. And so they're trying to rectify the situation. Sister Gabby was in the hospital in Bellingham and not released yet. So they took the baby and brought the baby to Seattle. She's still in Bellingham, and she has yet to touch the baby. She's never held it. And the baby's about 4.5 pounds, somewhere there, 4.8, and is not critical, but obviously serious, and serious enough to get to a NICU unit in Seattle, in the big hospital there. So Brother Paul told me today, he said, if you don't mind, let the folks know and have them pray if that would be all right. So that's a pretty important prayer request. Let's stand to our feet. Matt, would you come and just give us a little background here? And and I'm going to lay my hands on these requests here tonight. And Brother Aaron, would it be all right if you slipped up here and we just had you offer a word of prayer over these requests here tonight? And then, besides all of these, I know that probably everybody in the room would have a need. If we had time to go around the room and pass the microphone around, everybody would have something in their life that they'd want God to fix. Or if you had 5 minutes alone with Jesus, what would you say to him? What would you give to him? If he was there to take the need you had on your heart, every one of us would have something to give him. I know I would. And so now is your chance to do that. And when you read your Bible, like we've been talking about, he tells us to cast our cares upon him. He tells us to confess our faults one to another. He says, I am the God that healeth thee. By my stripes you are healed. So there's nothing too difficult for God. There's nothing impossible for God. And there's no way we're going to overwhelm God. He's omniscient. He already knows the end from the beginning. He knows the outcome of all of these requests that are here. And he always has the best advice and the best solution. So no matter how old you are, no matter where you are in life, no matter what your problem is, hold on to it now and believe that God sees what you're praying inside. And let's join our hearts together now and just ask Him just to have His way. Matt, what are you playing? What? God is moving by His Spirit, moving in all the earth. Signs and wonders where God moveth, move, O Lord, in me. Sing it again now. Yes, God is moving by His Spirit, moving o'er all the earth, and signs and wonders where God moveth, oh, move, oh, in me.
Heavenly Father, we come before Your holy throne tonight, Lord Jesus Christ, first confessing our sins, Lord, confessing our iniquities, yes, confessing our weaknesses, Lord. For David said in the word that if I conceive iniquity in my heart, then the Lord will not hear my prayer. But Father, we know that You don't look at us, Father, through the works of our hands, but You look to us, Lord, through the blood of Calvary. We are so thankful, Lord, that because of the cross of Calvary, we have boldness tonight to approach You, Lord, and present our request and our petition before Thee. As Moses said in the Psalms, that from ages to ages, Thou hast always been our dwelling place. Thou hast always been, Father, Lord God, the light during the evening, the pillar of cloud during the day, to Your people, Father. Lord Jesus, You have never failed Your people. Lord, throughout all the ages, through the dark ages, oh God, through, Father, various situations that the church has gone through, You have always been there and You have always been faithful. Lord Jesus, You've said, Lord, throughout the ages that I know what we are going through. Lord, You said, Father, that You know, Father, our works. You know, Father, all the things that we go through. You see our tears. You know, Father, even our requests before we even open our mouth, Lord, to speak them. Because You are still the same yesterday, today, and forever. As John saw You and he said, I saw Him walking in the midst of the candlestick. And Lord, You were walking, oh God, not just as a spectator, but walking as a protector, walking as a king, walking, Father, as the one who holds the church, walking as the one who provides, walking as the one who is able to heal and to save. You are the only deliverer there is. Father, we look to You, oh God, for we know, Father, that outside of the Lamb of God, there is no salvation. Outside of the Lamb of God, there is no healing. Outside of the Lamb of God, there is no peace. And tonight, Lord God, we can ask, Father, because we know, Father, that the Lamb overcame. He overcame death. He overcame the grave. He overcame all the power of the enemy. Lord, You broke the prison doors. And tonight, Father, we can say that You are in this house. As we were singing, Lord, a while ago, that You are in our house. You are in our hearts. And that's why, Lord, You said, greater is He that is in You than he that is in the world. Lord, no matter, Father, what it may be named, Lord, it's below our feet because You have given us the power. And when You raise from the dead, You said, behold, I give You power to tread over serpents. And if you drink anything deadly, it shall not harm you. Lord God, we know, Father, even when Balaam was hired to curse Israel, he said, I cannot curse what God has blessed. Lord Jesus Christ, and He says,
there is no iniquity in Jacob. Lord Father, we are asking tonight, and Lord, as we lay our hands upon these prayer requests, we may not remember them, we may not memorize them, but you know each and every one of them. And Lord, you know the faith that burns in the heart that Lord presented this request before the Lord. Father, we stand like Hezekiah of old. When he was threatened by the Assyrian army, he went before the Lord and he laid the request and the threats of the enemy before the Lord. And Father, you came down and you said, thus says the Lord, you shall fight for Israel. And Father, we stand here tonight presenting these needs before the throne of Almighty God. We are pleading before a judge that is able to see and to judge our case, not because of what we've done, but because of what you have done. Father, you told us, Lord, let the poor say I'm rich. Let the sick say I'm healed because of what the Lord has done. Father, we can never ask why. We can never ask why. But Lord, we know that you are there. And Father, you have a purpose. And Lord Jesus, we are believing tonight that you have already overcome for our behalf. Lord, we are standing resisting the enemy in the name of Jesus. Lord, the power is not in us, but we have been given authority, Lord, to claim our God-given rights in the word. And Father, if the devil comes upon our property, we have the right, according to the word, to cast him out, to say, Satan, leave this house, leave these bodies, leave these children. May salvation come in this place. May healing flow in this place. May peace flow in this place. May joy come in our homes, come in our lives, come in our marriage. Lord, we are claiming our children, our parents, our husbands, our wives, anything that the enemy might have taken. We strengthen ourselves with thee, Lord, as David of old, who strengthened himself and he pursued the enemy because you were with him. We are so thankful tonight, Lord, that we serve a God that is able to hear. Lord, we know that, Lord, that sorrows may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And Father, may this be a morning for Sister Carrie Whitlock. May this be a morning for Sister Angela. May this be a morning for Sister Rachel. May this be a morning, Father, for every one of your children who is sick tonight. Some, Father, that could not make it tonight. We are presenting them before thee. Lord, we remember especially Brother Keith. Lord, many nights, oh God, of wandering, Lord, many appointments, many great, Lord Jesus Christ, moments, Father, depressions, wandering, like Job of old, sitting upon an airship, having lost everything. But Lord, you said, I will restore, says the Lord, all the years that the caterpillar, that the cankerworm, that the locust have eaten. Father, you are the God that restores health. We restore a man, his dignity, his life. Lord, we are asking tonight, may you undertake for Brother Keith. May you come, Father, and intervene in on his behalf. May you give him, Father, whatever he has need of. May you restore his health. Oh God, whether you heal by the doctors or by the transplant, we are committing it into your hands. Lord, you said we shall be the head and not the tail. Father, may you give him the position, Lord. If Father, there's a transplant required, may you provide for him. Lord, but we know that there's a spiritual transplant that happened upon the cross of Calvary, and that they pierce your side. And Father, because of your piercings, because of your wounds, we can claim healing tonight. We are so thankful, Father. When I remember, Lord Jesus Christ, many of your children, Lord, some that are streaming tonight who cannot be here, may you be with them, Lord. As a church, may you give us strength for the journey. Give us the strength, Lord God. Father, help us, Father, to strengthen our knees and our elbows that hang down for the hour that is come upon us. For we are in the last days, and Father, there are many sicknesses going around, many problems, but Lord, you said you will raise a standard against the enemy. We thank you tonight, Father. Lord, those that are requiring jobs, will you give them, Father, jobs? Those that have got different decisions to make. Lord, we want to remember, Lord, the man that is, Lord God, into alcoholic. You are the God that saved Rosella Griffin in the Chicago meetings. And Lord, tonight we are sending prayer that, Lord, you may return, Lord, the lost and those that are, Lord, wallowing in darkness under the chains of alcoholism. bring them tonight, Father. May they be light in their lives. We claim him, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to remember, Lord, the father of Sister Carrie. Oh God, the health problem that has been read tonight. Lord, you are able to solve each and every one of them. Granted tonight, we thank you, Lord. We commit the service into your hands. Bless each and every one of us. Every Lord hand that is raised, every heart that is open to thee, may you visit, oh God, and provide for each and every one of them. We thank you, Lord, for being with us tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we receive this. We receive the healing. Lord, not forgetting, Lord, Sister Gabby in Seattle, in Washington. She may be far from us, Lord, but you are there with them at this hour. We remember Brother Paul, Father, and his family. We thank you for healing, Lord. That's Brother Paul, Sister Sharon, delivering, Lord, from cancer. You can still do the same for Sister Gabby tonight. We thank you, God. May you give them rest, oh Lord, and give them, Father, all the provisions that they need. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Let's sing it tonight. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord. Forgive me. I forget many things when I'm standing here, but I wanted to mention Brother Keith's name, and we're holding Brother Keith in prayer for a breakthrough, and that's the word the Lord gave me the other day about Brother Keith. He's between a transplant and healing. He's stuck in the middle, and we pray that God would give him a breakthrough.
Amen.
And give him victory over that problem that he has. Sister Sarah Vasaki gave me a request, and I failed to read it here tonight. They found out today that Eliana's dad, most of the young people know Eliana, she was here a couple of weeks ago, her dad, which is her sister's, Sarah's sister's ex-husband, has been told that he has cancer in the brain and there's nothing more that can be done. And they're praying that he has a real experience with the Lord if there's nothing more that they can do. And he's a young man. And so we just want to pray that the Lord will undertake for him. Kingston has a friend of a friend who came to him and asked for prayer. There's a particular need. What was this? He had a surgery. We're praying for his recovery. So this young man, we want to remember him as well. You are the Lord that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and you healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. You are the Lord that saved my soul. Sent your word and forgave all my sin. You are the Lord, my Savior. Heavenly Father, we have mentioned all of these requests. And there are as many or more that are not mentioned before you tonight vocally. But they're just as real and just as important to you. And now in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would just be merciful, Lord, to all of these people that have submitted these requests, Lord. And I know there's an anxious heart behind every one of them. Lord, we are your people. We come to you in faith, believing that you care about all we go through. And so at the beginning of this year and at the end of this day, we commit our hearts to you in prayer, believing, Lord, that the very best thing we can do is bring all of our needs and our petitions before you. We live in a world that is characterized by violence and war and strife. We know that that is not how the kingdom of God comes. It is indicative of a world that's falling apart. And so, Lord, I pray now that you would just give us that resolve within our hearts. We who possess the kingdom of God within us, I pray, dear God, that you would make us strong in a world that's filled with tragedy and sorrow. May, Lord, you just move in the scene this year in this assembly. I pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit would have free course among us and that you would minister to us, through me, every minister that stands here. Lord, may you guide us in your perfect will. We want to be built up in the most holy faith that is necessary today. And Lord, I pray that we would be stronger at the end of this year than at the beginning. We love you with all of our heart. We pray your mercies be extended to each one. Comfort those that need your comfort. Lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. And we'll give you all the glory and the praise. We thank you for answered prayer. We thank you, Lord, for watching over Nathaniel today. And we ask in Jesus' name that, Lord, you would just be glorified in all that's done. And we'll thank you as the bride of Christ. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Sing it as you go tonight. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer.
I have sent my words and
your disease. I am the Lord. Sorry. Brother Smith, why don't you come on up and we'll pray for you tonight. Brother Smith asked to be prayed for tonight. It's a wonderful atmosphere to be prayed in. And forgive me for overlooking that. Brother Aaron, come on. We'll pray for Brother Smith. And you hold Brother Smith up in prayer. Appreciate his love for the Lord and his steadfastness. Through. There's nothing at all that we can hide from you. And Lord, we bring his need into your presence tonight. Thanking you, Lord Jesus, because you care for everything we go through. And Lord, we know you to be a healer tonight. And your prophet even taught us if you stood here tonight in a suit, you couldn't do anything more than what's already been done. And we know, Lord, that your presence is real. And we just ask now that you would bless him, give him strength. You have brought him through some great trials over this last few months. And I pray, dear God, now you would strengthen him and heal his body. Touch him, Lord, and encourage him in the name of Jesus. And may the enemy now have to take his hands off God's property. I commit him to you, and for your glory we ask these things. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, Brother Smith. You are the Lord that healeth me. You are the Lord my healer. You sent your word and you heal my disease. You are the Lord my healer. Praise the Lord. As you go tonight, let's sing that little chorus, Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the price you paid. Sing as you go tonight. May God bless you. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price. Sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know,
your forgiveness and your grace.
Thank you for the